Beloved, you are now tuned in to Three Black Men, a podcast by three black men where we talk about theology, culture, and the world around us. The following content may not be suitable if you ain't real enough. Listener discretion is advised, because real recognize real. Here's the hope when we look familiar.
Hey everyone, you are about to hear a conversation between Sam and I, and from time to time we've been doing some stripped down conversations, just two of us, whether it's Sam and I or Trey and I. We'll do many iterations of these where we just have some bonus content for you. And in this conversation, we just had a heart-to-heart about Will, Jada, and Chris Rock, and about some of the issues that have come to the surface within Black communities, plural. And we wanted to just speak from our hearts to one another. So this is very much in that vein. And this isn't a decidedly theological take. It's not decidedly anything. It's just two black men talking. And with all of the takes that have come out in the past weeks, and with people jumping in to speak on it, especially outside of our communities, it's been painful to watch and hear of trauma from people who don't look like us. And so here we are, just talking, being and breathing. So hopefully you are able to sit with us as we express our pain. We try to humanize the situation. So be blessed. Here you go on black
signing
people.
Some petitions.
Yeah, like here you paying go on black people. Here you go on black people business again, because we're having all of these nuances going on for us, and you're thinking that you know what's going on. It's levels to this.
It really is.
Everyone, it's two black men, and we are having a stripped down conversation as we talk about the situation that happened at the Oscars recently. And I refuse to let it be reduced to being called the slap, because I think that calling it that is dehumanizing. And I think it dehumanizes Jada. I think it dehumanizes Chris, and I think it dehumanizes Will. And so Sam, hello, brother.
What's up, bro?
And so Sam and I, we are here just to talk about it, have a stripped down conversation, and really just to be how we are in normal conversation together. And yeah, let's talk about it. Brother.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, where do you even start on that? Because there's so much I feel like we both feel like to be unpacked in that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And first, you might hear things going off in both backgrounds. You'll hear you might hear Sam's kids playing in the background. Pay it ever no mind. Just two black men having conversation, kids playing
real
in
life.
This is real life. Nah,
it's bedtime. They better not be playing in the background, but Levi
like doing his thing.
Yeah, he like to do his thing, but
he's grown and comfortable. Hush. But I think where I'd like to start is, I think first, let's say that obviously there are some really good commentary and articles around Jada, who I think the narrative I would love to stay around is Jada, who personally is the originator of the joke that Chris made. I don't know that we necessarily ourselves can do her narrative justice, neither the commentary around Black women and Black hair. Our conversation tonight maybe can't fully mine out Jada and her and her person. And so lest we even attempt to even do Jada's story justice, we won't go there. I read an interesting article from Roxane Gay that was fascinating, and I've seen a lot of Black women really centralize Jada's personhood and agency. I think we will ground ourselves in our social location as Black men here. And so, yeah, let's start there. As a Black man, your thoughts and your initial opinions on what happened at the Oscars.
Yeah, so it's real interesting because, like, you know, this is a Black man and Black man, married Black man, right? And so being a married Black man who's also had confrontations, sometimes physical, with other Black men, I get this. What I don't want to do necessarily is to demonize anyone, right? Like, nor do I want to center myself, right? Like, I don't want to remove. I really hope within what I'm saying, people hear, like, you know, the response for me, right? I'm talking about me. And everything that I say would be in relation to how I feel and how I probably would have responded in said situation now, right? So with that, I'll say there's a part of me that when I saw that, was kind of like that part, right? Like I've slapped people for less at some point in time, but for sure, if my wife is, I will always defend my wife's honor, and that will look differently in different spaces and time. And I can't say that I would have walked on stage to do it, but like, I would have definitely had to find a way to correct him in that moment, because like my wife has just shared vulnerable information publicly. Someone who's, I don't know, I feel like Jada Pinkett's part of her fame has been her beauty, right? Like, she's very beautiful. She's always been beautiful with and without hair. She's still gorgeous. She looks phenomenal. And I understand defending someone who is experiencing violence but can't defend themselves in that moment, right? Because had Jada said something, it would have been, she can't take a joke, right? Like, it would have been the same thing, but worse, I feel like, because she's a Black woman. Now she's an angry Black woman, and I just hate how we will excuse that form of violence, right? The verbal form of violence that causes trauma under a First Amendment or under a joke. And there's no room for someone to be offended because it's just a joke, right? But that's her real life, right? Like, this is her pain. This is her story. This is her life. This is a reality that maybe she's still struggling to accept in some form, right? Like, I tell you what else I don't like. I see a lot of people making it about their personal life and bringing up their marriage, and this don't have nothing to do with none of that, Right. Like, and I feel like that stuff is really unfair. It don't have nothing to do with that.
Ooh, you
That's
appreciate
none of y'all's business.
it. Yeah, I go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I because we gonna get into it. I
Yeah.
think because on that note, so I'll just say this on the front end. I think what I haven't appreciated has been the critique of the white gaze, and it's caused a lot of pain. As this incident that has happened within a black, a group of black people has been amplified over many communities, and a lot of the critiques have really been white centered and have really missed the mark, and have shown that, okay, y'all really haven't spent time with a lot of black people. And you can tell by the kinds of critiques, right? In some of the language that is being used is very racially charged. And you in how do Rob, how do you know? It's a lot of thug language, it's a lot of brute language, it's a lot of animal language, it's a lot of and those are racially charged words when being ascribed to a black man. I'm like, what do you mean by that? Like, slow down on these words, because we didn't use that in the history of other Oscar situations, where white
Uh-oh.
men were trying to kiss women against their will.
Oh, Kim Jerry.
Exactly. Where other white men were doing inappropriate deeds. We weren't using brute language. We weren't using animal. We weren't using thug. But all of a sudden, and that's not to excuse what happened here, but it gives me pause to say, you're lacking the range to critique in a nuanced way what's happening here. Yes, we can call it wrong. Because I find that even commenting in the space, that even black people are feeling the need to qualify their statements by saying, well, I believe what Will did was wrong, and I want to pause right there and say that this happens in pretty much every tragedy that involves black people,
Every single
because this
one.
happened after the Ferguson riots, this happened after George Floyd death and the riots in Minneapolis, and black people felt the need to qualify and quantify their statements with, well, I believe that rioting is wrong, and y'all don't need to hear that from me anymore, because you've heard it a million times. So I'm not going to keep saying that, because you're not listening to the everything that I say after that statement, because you don't want to hear the cultural critique. You only want to
Right.
hear me say, do I think that the violence was bad?
Yeah.
You're not listening to all the cultural nuances, and the critique from my culture. You only want to hear what you want to hear. So there's that. And then I think, yeah, I feel real grief from it of being under the white gaze without being able to speak about the cultural nuances, without being able to say, we have three black people in pain here, three equally black people in pain, and what does restoration look like for all of them? For Jada, for Chris, for Will. They all deserve restoration. And I cried over that last night when I think of Chris, who played the role of Mocker, what does that look like for him? I do have a heart for Chris in this, and thinking of what trauma is in his life, that was okay. Those kinds of jokes are okay. But he was dehumanized on TV. I don't think that's okay. And even though, admittedly, and we could talk about it later, I have the least amount of sympathy for him. I'm just going to be honest, since we being raw, real here. But I don't like dehumanization. But what does restoration look like for all three? And so, yeah, I think I'm sitting with, I want healing for all three individuals.
I do too,
I just have the least I'm just being real, since we're here.
I feel we're being
in this place.
I agree. I like Chris Rock to an extent, right? Like, I mean, I was introduced to his comedy at an early age, so like I've seen a lot of his specials growing up.
Can I say here, sorry to interrupt you.
No, yeah.
Can I say, I think it's because of that wrestling with what place does comedy have in our community? That's why. It's not for him as a human being. It's what is acceptable in our community as far as joking and the roasting now. Right. Yeah. So I think that's
and I think like here.
Go ahead.
And that's where I feel like us. Okay. So the roasting and stuff, like, that's part of our love language. That's part of our culture, right? As Black people, that's what we do. But like, even if that's, you know, if that's something that y'all do, like, you don't do that publicly, right? Like, that's not.
Yeah, because I would never roast your wife in public.
Right.
Because like, literally, I would literally expect you to slap me up.
Well, but also, like, you and I have a relationship, right? Like, there are things that you can say that the other person on the street can't say.
Yeah.
Right. Like that. And that's just the way that goes.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's our responsibility as people that love one another, right? That treat each other with dignity and respect, not to exploit nor expose or betray the trust, yeah, right, that gives us access to that. And
you're right.
Whether that be a part of our profession or not, like, you have to know. And
you're right.
And it sounds, please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying like, oh, well, if he ain't know them, it was okay. That's not what I'm saying.
No, you're right. And we're not victim blaming. Yeah, like,
right.
Yeah.
Not victim blaming at all. But that's something that you keep between y'all, right? You don't invite the world into that space, because then, like, this is the reaction. Like, you don't know what a response will, like, you would hope that, and you, I mean, maybe he thought like, okay, well, you know, maybe they'll say something, but, you know, backstage, and, you know, we'll be all right. But, you know, I'm gonna push the envelope a little bit. It's for ratings.
Yeah. And
can't do it.
And I think the other thing I struggle with is I feel we never can move forward because we've always been this way. We've always had this joking element. We've always had this roasting element. And there's this pride with, well, do y'all remember Richard Pryor? Do y'all remember, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And there seems to be this immovable dimension to joking and roasting. And what I feel, what I want to put on the table is, I hate that this was brought up for in mixed company in such a public way. And I think that that's where the grief comes in, is this was already a hot button issue that's been brought up with the likes of Dave Chappelle recently, that's been brought up time and time again. And this has been at the forefront of our culture. We are wrestling with it. And here it has been brought, like, Boom. Like we can't escape it as a culture. It's what place does joking have, and what where is the line? And people who think there's a large faction of people who believe there is no line. You can say whatever you want. And obviously that is not the answer. Just doubling down on there is no line. Y'all remember Richard Pryor. Y'all remember how Eddie Murphy used to do it. Y'all, that's not working. There is cracks in that foundation. Clearly, like that's not working.
You know what? And like the problem that I have with folks who would think that there are no lines, right? It's just like, okay, well, if everything, if it's in the name of a joke, right? Like, so at what point, so where do we draw the line? As long as it's a joke, racism is okay. As long as it's a joke, sexism is okay. As long as it's a joke, any sort of act of verbal violence, right? Like that might cause somebody to relive trauma or whatever. That's all of that stuff is okay. How? And at what, like, yeah, it just how does that even make sense? Because at that point, like, so, and I'll use Dave Chappelle for an example, because he's one of those ones that'd be like, bro, it's a joke. Like, it's reality, but it's a joke. But also he's, has sort of that standpoint of where Black Lives Matter. And it's just like, well, until it's a part of your joke.
You're speaking things, brother. Yeah, you're speaking. I
And like I look, don't get me wrong, like I roast you, like y'all know, we get together, we got jokes all
we
day,
got
and we
jokes all
roast,
day.
we got jokes all day, and we'll roast each other all day. Like y'all got a chance to see a part of that, but not like
There
that.
is a line even with us, and
There's a
we'll say
line.
we say it. I'm like, hey,
Very clear.
back that thing up.
Look back
Like,
that, not Cash Money Records.
yeah, for
Put it down in
the
2000s.
99. Because even we recognize, even with all the love that we share, hey, that is a little too personal. And because we have this reaching for the sacred among us, and I think what we're realizing in our communities is, hey, there is a such thing as too far, and this isn't giving license to Will to do what he did. And we can talk about Will in a second, but I think there is an element to what happened of what happens when a joke goes too far. And I think what people are missing is, even in that incident, was I really believe that that was a culmination of jokes on Jada, on Will, for a long time that they've been hit with. Jada been catching heat for a long time. And people can argue whether it was warranted or not. Chris has been, people have only cited the one joke that he had for Jada. Actually, Chris has been making jokes for a
For
while. Yeah,
years.
for years. And how far is too far? Some people will say it's never. There is no line. And I would say in communities, there is a line in communities with those whom you draw lines of sacredness with. There is a line, y'all. And as a Black man, I enter this space and say, with those whom I identify with, those whom I love, I can't snap with you. I have snapped with those whom I love and say, the force of my anger is because I feel violated. And the strength of the violation is because I feel wronged by you.
I think I don't know, man. This is all just really unfortunate, right? Because you have on display, like, yet again, Black people to be criticized for everything. And like, really the big thing that's being criticized, right, is the response. And that's like something that seems like it'll never go away. It doesn't matter what happened, how justified I could be, right? Like, I'm gonna catch the blame, or Black man, because Black people cannot respond in a way that society, Anna Taylor, like, was sleeping, and people want to blame her ex or her past decisions for being killed in her sleep. Like, it's just ridiculous. And not to take away from either situation, but just as an example of like how this happens all the time, and maybe people ignore it, but this is a reality of the life that we live, right? And Rob, you said it before, and like listening to you like voice it about how frustrating it is to not, or to have your responses policed and not be able to have a knee-jerk reaction, no matter how okay it is, right? Like, no matter how much growth you've seen from XYZ, like, none of that matters. It's going to be critiqued to like hell and back, right? To the worst way. Nothing will be good enough. Like, Will could have been like, all right, and went backstage and roughed him up, and it still would have been the same thing. Or like, there just would have been something would have came out, oh, well, he can't take a joke. And there would have been more jokes to follow. And I've heard some insane things from other comedians that are just, it's really frustrating because a lot of them are Black.
Oh, please.
And part of me feels like I can't help but to associate not necessarily the people, but the act of how this happened and how it's being defended. I can't necessarily connect the dots, but I almost feel like this had, like, it's white supremacy is to blame for this. Like, in some way, there's a defense of whiteness in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, the ability to say what you want, and people just need to be responsible for their response. I'm not responsible for what I say. You just need to be responsible for how you respond. And that just seems so like boy to me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the white supremacy and is the shock and awe. I'm gonna say it because it's been on my mind. Because we're talking raw, right?
Let it go.
So people have really, even the people expressing, you know, outrage over defending Chris Rock, as I've really mined out their responses, I've really noticed that it's been less about Chris Rock, because I have true empathy. I've been reaching for that empathy, right? And mining it out, trying to get there. I've realized it's less about Chris Rock. I realize y'all don't really care about Chris Rock.
They just want to be able to say what they want to say.
I realize y'all actually are the people who are traumatized about it happening. It's really, y'all only care because it happened in this particular space, because y'all aren't traumatized by violence. Violence is a moneymaker in Hollywood. Y'all don't care about violence. I wrote a piece that said, we don't talk about Bruno or violence, apparently. And I said, for my Substack, and I said, essentially making the claim like, y'all talk about violence all the time. Like, violence is a moneymaker. I mean, like,
ain't it?
Like, y'all didn't like that it showed up in y'all space in a way that y'all couldn't predict or control. And I think the real thing that y'all are mad about is control, and that Will showed you what Black rage is capable of. And I'm really sitting with that. And I think Black rage scares white supremacy more than anything. And if we connect the dots of something you said earlier, Ferguson, Minneapolis, and 2020 and the race riots scared a lot more people than anything else. That shock and awe that people have. Whoa. whoa. and I think that even somebody like Will Smith.
Yeah.
Showing
he raps book, happy.
Yeah. He, this respectable, Negro.
Not the one playing respectability politics. Oh.
Yeah. And I think it showed what Black rage is capable of when it snaps. I think that that's what y'all are shocked about. So you're not actually caring about Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. Y'all trying to condemn Will is more of a, you're trying to crucify him because of the horror that you're now feeling.
Yeah.
So it's a, y'all actually are just trying to like crucify him for like your shock and awe. But y'all don't really care. I mean, y'all don't really care about restitution because y'all would actually, because y'all don't care about Jada. Y'all would have been like, oh my God, is she okay? Oh my God, is Chris okay? Y'all would have been flying out to, does that make sense? Like if you would have been like, let me make sure he's really okay. Let me fly him out to get him some help. Y'all aren't doing that for Chris. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So it's actually not about Black bodies that you're concerned about. None of them. Y'all are concerned with Black rage popped up at this place that we cannot control. And that's shocking and traumatizing. And I think that that type of disingenuous shock, that both angers me and I think that angers me.
You know what? And I know you took it a step further. I would even take it a step further because if you remember, Jada also had that view about boycotting the Oscars because of how they were shutting out Black people. And so I almost feel like they were like, well, we peeled back. We not even opened it. We moved back the white supremacy curtain to let y'all in a little bit further. And this is y'all's response. This is what y'all doing.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that like in a way to condemn like Will or like anybody's specific actions. I think this is for me like tying it back to sort of like a sort of defense of white supremacy because we've never been able to say what we wanted to. We've always had to watch what we say and watch how we respond as other people said what they wanted to, right? And so like even all of these, like you said, all of these people that are sort of defending Chris or not even defending Chris, they're condemning Will, right? Condemning Will and Jada. There's no concern for Chris. There's no care for Chris and how he might be feeling after that, right? It's about the ability to say what they want. It's more so about them being able to have their free speech and say what they want at their shows without people retaliating, right? And I get you wanting to feel safe at your job, but at, like what we kind of said before, at what, where does it stop though? Like if you can say whatever you want in the name of a joke, where does it stop? Right? Yeah. Like you just, so dehumanizing people is okay in jokes. And that's it.
Yeah. And to me, no.
Right.
Like I no. And for me, a couple of things with what you just said. I hate that this topic has had to come up in this way again. I think the answer has to be to that no. And some people are going to feel like, well, now do we have to bow to this because of the slap? No, I think we should have changed way before this. That's the honest to God answer. I think we should have heeded wisdom way before this. I think the writing was on the wall way before this. We didn't have to get here. And again, that's not pumping Will up. That's not, you know, demonizing Chris. I think we should have already evolved way before this. And I think we are willingly obtuse when we act like, oh, to be funny, we have to be dehumanizing. Robert, what do you mean dehumanizing? I'm not going to even answer that. Like, I'm not even, y'all, we yeah. know you can be funny. And there's even a way to light roast a room without punching down. Like, I'm not even going to lie. I'm a funny person. I'm a very funny person. And that's not to toot my own horn, but and there's a way to like lightly jab without punching down. And if you're a real comedic genius, you know the things within people groups and individuals that are punching down.
Yeah, you know, you have to use something so personal and so sensitive.
Yeah, like we know the things within people groups. We know weight. Yeah. We know things. Y'all, we're it's 2022, y'all. We not.
Yeah.
It's 2022. It's 2022. I know Black women. I'm never going for hair. Robert, did you get a PhD in psychology? How do you know that? Y'all, I know Black. Yeah. So you mean I can never make a joke about Black women's hair? Yeah. Yeah. Like in the same way, I've had Black sisters all my life. There are things that I would never do, like actual sisters, not sisters. There are just things that I would never crack on them because I know that would be too far. And I can tell that that slap was that there was a lot in there. You know, some of it, I think there was the history with Chris. There was a lot in that slap. And anyone who's ever acted in a way that they're not proud of, you know, when you snap on your kids and you're like, ooh. I said, sit down. You know, whoa, okay. That was a lot.
Right.
You know,
I'm sure after he was like, what? You know, adrenaline, you know, rushing.
Yeah, that adrenaline rush.
You know.
And by the time he got up on stage, there was so much in that.
I think on the walk back, he was probably like, did I just do that?
Yeah, like that was.
I committed now.
that was wild. Yeah. And then for him to be talking, I mean, then him to be cussing, that whole scene,
yeah,
there was a lot in there. I mean, it wasn't just y'all talking about the slap. It was the whole scenario for me.
But you know what?
Let me finish this and then, yeah, interrupt me. Interrupt me. Interrupt. I think the thing that I would say is your unhealed trauma and not having outlets for that unhealed trauma will come back to bite you. And it doesn't matter how healthy you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter who you are. I think I saw people just throwing around terms like toxic masculinity. And I don't like that because what I want people to do is be Pacific.
Just like the ocean.
Yeah, like be very Pacific, very, 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 very Pacific, because
yeah.
I like to say, if you're going to say it, at least say toxic Black masculinity, because the things that Black men struggle with is not the same thing that all men struggle with. Right. There are things that we're dealing with systemically within our communities, with things that are forced upon us by white supremacy, to your point, that cause us to have to walk out our manhood in certain ways, certain things that we did not ask for. So before you're just assuming that, oh, he's just like any other man, just throwing around his No, wait. Some of that is testosterone, but some of that is because of racism in society. Some of that has been foisted upon by survival tactics. Some of that, no, don't just assume he's just like white Johnny down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Be Pacific. Like, it's not just, oh, he just thinks he can do whatever he wants. I hate that commentary.
Yeah, like,
you know what I'm saying? Like when I think of the ways that you have walked out toxic masculinity, it's not the same as just the white board member who's like, I do what I want.
Right. Right.
Like, it's just all about me, baby. Baby boo. You know?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Can I paint a picture?
Yeah.
So Will Smith as a husband, right? Like, forget all of the past stuff and jokes and internet stuff that, I mean, and it's probably hard to, that are out there. But just, I think he really loves Jada.
I think so.
I believe he genuinely loves her. And I think this was also probably very hard. And so when I hear of a Black woman having to go through some sort of illness, I automatically remember my mom. Right, my mom died when I was 15, but watching her go through cancer and watching what the treatments did to her body and watching my dad care for her, I believe that my dad loved her enough that he would have done the same thing on his job. But not because, like, oh, well, this is my wife and you can't say anything, but you don't know the tears that I've cried and the how I've had to put aside my own pain to help her through this, to be strong for her, and for you to diminish all of that by dehumanizing her on national television, I will slap you every single time. Right? Like, for me, like, if that's sort of the place where Will was, including the past trauma, like the, what you talked, like just talked about, like just that, if I had to, there could be,
yeah,
not saying there would, but there could be enough there for me to do that every single time. So I can't condemn, I hate that this happened in such a way. But I can't necessarily condemn his actions. I get it, right? Like, I've seen, and like here, my dad, like I went after my mom passed. I went to my dad's job a couple of times, and I remember a couple of guys saying like, "Yeah, man, you play about your mom." And like, I get it. Like, people don't know what went on inside those four walls of how, like, the three of us took turns sleeping downstairs because the hospital bed couldn't go upstairs. And so we had to make sure our IV didn't have air in it. And if it started beeping, we had to go and thump to get all of the air out and then get up and go to school the next day, or like wait and be late to school because we had to wait for my dad to come home from work so he could take over, right? Like, and not to say that Jada experienced all of those things, but we don't know what her process in dealing with those things was like. And Will, as a husband, trying to be there in whatever way he could, through all of these jokes on the internet, through all of the trauma that he's had of watching his mom be abused in different ways, and through all of those, like, trying to figure out and muster up of how to be a man and care and love and protect my Black wife, who is probably the most endangered species on Earth. Right? Like, there's nobody to protect them. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot to try to figure out. So
you're saying this as someone who loves your Black wife fiercely.
Absolutely.
You hold your wife down. And I think that that commentary is lost in the sea of commentary. And so many people speaking about this from so many different perspectives. You feel this commentary in your bones, knowing, yo, one thing about Sam, Sam does not play about his wife. No, I think all in all,
crazy that this is like, a lot of this stuff has to be said to me. I'm sorry. It's just wild.
Yeah, I think all in all, for me, I think, you know, when people say, can't we just move beyond it? I think no. I think this incident has opened up a painful reality and painful realities that were already cracked in the foundation of our communities that aren't going anywhere. And no, they can't just be explained away. They can't just be, as much as we would like them to just like go away somewhere. No, we can't just get over it. And I think for some people, they have the luxury of saying, these were just movie stars. No, but to some of us, they were beloved. To some of us, they represent more than movie stars. And go ahead.
I was going to say, do you see how easy it is to marginalize people though?
Yeah.
Like in this whole situation, in the name of righteousness, right? Will gets demonized and Jada gets marginalized. Like her trauma or her pain, whatever she might be feeling, gets sort of marginalized in the name of violence is always wrong from the most violent people in the history of the world.
That's right.
Just like ultimately, like this is it in a nutshell, right? Like yet again, you have sort of systemic racism marginalizing Black women, and it's normative to do these things in the name of, and that's why I say I hate that this happened publicly. I hate that every single last person is Black, because it's really hard. I don't want to say it's really hard, but I just think that there in all of this is there's this defense of white supremacy, and it sucks because these are real people's lives, right? Who have real trauma. And all of it is sort of being pushed to the side for the sake of a dollar or a story or demonizing violence or a person, right? Will Smith or whatever, like whoever has their own agenda. That's probably the most frustrating thing for me.
Yeah.
Right. And part of the reason why I didn't really say anything in public, because initially, like I probably would have cussed a lot just because it's frustrating, because I understand I can get where Will's coming from. Like you said, I have a little bit of sympathy for Chris, because like being publicly humiliated in such a way. I mean, granted, you did what you did, but the professionalism to humble yourself in such a way to like keep going.
And he really did. And he like kept going.
Jeez. Bro, because even if I had said the joke in some, like we probably like we would have talked about him and we would have been boxing, and then we'd have,
because even if I was wrong, I was dead wrong. Yeah.
Initially, we gonna box, but we can have that conversation later and be like, you know what, I was wrong. You right.
Yeah.
I was tripping.
Yeah. We would have been boxed.
We was gonna box.
I would have doubled down.
Hey, Rob said, "No, man, no."
I would have doubled down on the dog.
I said,
"Swang."
Yeah.
I'm just saying this is unhealthy, but I would have doubled down.
You see, can we get Rob the biggest donkey of the day? No, just playing.
Truly,
the biggest hee haw.
Yeah, hee haw.
No,
you're right, and I think one lesson that I take away from this is that I want to really unearth those things in me that are unhealed. You know, because I see a lot in Will.
Yeah.
I want to work on those things that are triggers for me. I really do. I want to work on those things that are painful places that can be picked on. And I want to have outlets in healthy ways with my brothers, with people who love me, so that when the time comes and I do encounter tough situations, mocking situations, that I know I have options, right? Like because it's easier said than done. And I think people, you know, some of the foolish commentaries, like, he could have blah, blah, blah. Sometimes you don't feel that in the moment.
Exactly.
Like, you know, whoever you are is who you are in the moment. But what I want to work on for myself is, like, I want to work on those things now, because you know, that's the wisdom I'm learning for myself. Ooh, I watched that. If one of the richest Negroes in the world can go like that, yo, I don't have a chance. So let me, no, but seriously, I'm like, I want to work on healthy avenues, and slowing my life down enough to, do I know when I get pressed?
Yeah.
I have other options.
We now have a Patreon, which I want to encourage each and every one of y'all to visit at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Think through it, pray through it, ask God if he would have you partake in this work that we're doing, because on top of some bonus content here, we have some blog pieces going up. There's going to be some devotional content coming out, and I want to encourage you guys to visit that Patreon, patreon.com/threeblackmen.
Go watch my kids ruin my videos.
Go ahead, watch them. Them babies ain't ruin nothing, man. Matter of fact, there's more people going to sign up to see them babies. How about that, bro?